Hi, my name is Tracy Schultz. I'm the host of What's New. What's New is a show you can find on Co-op Radio here in Austin, Texas. Co-op Radio is K-O-O-P. We're at 91.7 FM on the local dial and at koop.org. For today, it's a really great pleasure to be able to speak a few minutes with Aaron Bruno from AWOL Nation. AWOL Nation is going to be performing this coming Friday, 4 p.m. At the Honda Stage at Austin City Limits Festival. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing well. It's a real pleasure to be able to speak with you. We've gotten the chance, it's like, to see you here in Austin. It's like with AWOL Nation. It's like for a few years now. You're kind of like a regular face. We're lucky to have you. It's like make a return trip. It's like each time. It's like when you're on tour.
Yeah, it always feels very comfortable for us coming through there. As some of your listeners may or may not know, Austin is sort of the birthplace of our success story at radio, really. So Austin was the very first place to play Sail ever, you know, and it was never supposed to be a single, and the rest is history. So anytime, and it was also one of the first great, great, great shows I'd ever had in my life was when we went to Austin. I'd heard rumors about the response that we were getting out there, and then when we showed up and actually did the show, it was overwhelming how many people knew the words of not only the songs on the radio, but the whole EP, which came out before the full-length album. So to make a long story short, Austin is great for us.
No, I caught a little bit about that because I was working at 101X at the time, and correct me if I'm wrong, that was Toby that helped help with that, right?
Yeah, Toby Ryan.
Yeah, that's a huge deal, and it's still kind of incredible in retrospect, because I don't think I've ever talked with anybody that's been a 6-time platinum certified artist, and that was all because of the strength of Sail and everybody just latching on to that.
It's actually 10 times now worldwide, but wow. Who's counting?
Wow. It's just one of those things. It's like, is it still kind of heady to kind of think about as an artist?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I've gotten used to it to a certain extent, but, you know, for a long time, it feels like, well, this shouldn't have happened to me. I don't deserve this. And then finally, at a certain point, you realize, well, I did write this song, and, you know, I've become used to it to a certain degree, but I more than anything, I just feel like sort of a messenger of some sort of greater message that was meant to be heard by radio listeners, and not even radio listeners, I guess people in general wanted to hear a very vulnerable lyric like that song. And you know, again, when I go back to it, I remember playing it for a producer friend of mine, and he thought that the song, he's like, yo, it's cool, but it needs a chorus. And I actually tried to write a chorus for it, but I'm like, nah, F that. It doesn't feel right. It's just a cool song. Why does everything have to have rules? Or here's the big chorus where, you know, it explodes into this one part instead of the anti-pop song, and it ends up being this phenomenon, you know?
Yeah. Well, does that, you know, you have like an album run that came out. You also had like a remix album like that came out in September, run remixes. Does that ever, is it kind of hard, like, to write something that's like new? It's like knowing that that's kind of like this thing that's in the past. It's like that everybody gravitated to. It's like, is there like a challenge to yourself to kind of come up with something that's like this as big as Sail was?
No, it's just more inspiring that anything's possible, because I didn't have any intentions of that when I wrote it. I just wrote it, you know, so I just continue to do exactly that and write these songs. And I find that my instincts are usually pretty right on. I'm such a fan of all different music and all genres of music. So, you know, I'm going to be a couple years ahead, I think, of where music is headed. In a lot of ways, so I feel like I could, if I trust my instincts, I'll hit something on the head close enough that will continue to have some sort of, you know, that people will continue to listen to what I'm doing, and that's really what it's all about for me.
Well, you know, again, like listening to Run and checking that out and listening to the songs. You're in a unique spot because, especially, it's like, again, we have the Austin City Limits Festival. There's been like a kind of like a draw toward DJs and those types of like of bands, the EDM scene, as well as kind of like the large rock stadium rock bands. And you're kind of like right there in the middle, kind of balancing both of those influences. Was that by design, or is like or is it just kind of how things kind of came to be for y'all?
No, it's not, none of it's by design ever. I mean, you are who you are. You know what I mean? It's like you like the music you listen to, or you like what you like, better put, and you don't like, you know, the stuff you naturally can't stand, right? And you know, all the songs I write are just extensions of the stuff that has influenced me growing up, you know. So a lot of the songs were written, whether or not there's a little bit of electronic, you know, if there's electronic elements or organic instrumentation, it's never a decision. It's just whatever seems like it'll service the song idea best is what can end up on there. And there's never any thought or you know, into how that's going to affect us in a festival setting. And I think everything's so wide open now. I mean, everybody's, when the first record came out, there wasn't a ton of people doing that mashup of different genres and sounds. And now people definitely caught up to that. So I think that it's much more common. So I feel like, you know, I don't feel like we're the extreme outlier like we were before. Having said that, I do find that we usually end up being one of, if not the heaviest band on these kinds of festivals, which is cool. So we kind of sneak in as this, you know, slightly alternative band, but then end up being the most brutal live of anyone else playing that night. You know? So that's always a good thing.
Yeah, it's it's like definitely is, like, and it kind of like stands out in the crowd, but at the same time, it kind of flows with like with everything else that's going on as well. You know, checking out the album Run that you had come out, and it's like and listen to it right off the bat. The lead single, or I guess it's like the self-titled track Run, had a little bit of influences that I caught from Gary Newman. Is that a bit of a stretch to say something like that, or is a
no? I mean, I wouldn't say that was anything conscious necessarily, but that seems fine to me. You know, it's always fun to find out what other people think that your stuff sounds like, you know. That's happened my whole life, even when I was in my first, you know, garage band playing with one guy who was a drummer, and you know, I was in sixth grade, people said he sounded like this or that. It's always kind of mind-blowing. You know, it's fun for people to even get that feeling. I just finished up this record for this band called Iron Tom that just got a record deal. And I'm starting to play everybody from different radio folks that I know along my travels to just different tastemakers and people just to see what they think, you know, could potentially be a single or just what they think of in general of the record, and to hear the comparisons of different things, you know, with them is really fun too, to live vicariously through them. So actually right now I'm currently kind of reliving the start of a project, and you know, I put my heart and soul into this band as well. So someone said, oh, I get it. It sounds like the singer of Television, you know, the band.
Yeah.
Television. I'm like, okay, I'll take it. That's good. Cool. You know, so there's only a couple things that would bum me out if I was compared to, I think, you know, I'd be like, what? But usually if it's some sort of butthead reference, it's just because the person who made that reference was uneducated in music, you know. Or I should say just has a been lucky enough to hear as much good music as maybe you and I have.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, you get out, you get around, it's like you start like picking up different exposures, it's like to different things, and you start to hear like other aspects. It's like, and it all could come back to like to a singular source that might be just, you know, not conscious, like you said, it's like by the people that are doing it, or it's like, or the folks that were listening. It might be some others like undercurrent that just kind of bubbled up. It's like through to the surface that people are catching.
Having said all this, you know, I definitely have a vision for the next record right now, more so than before. We're on, you know, I would just kind of come up with whatever I could, and I'll continue to do that to a certain extent. But I do think people are getting a little bit burnt out on hearing robotic instrumentation and robotic vocals. And while I've never had robotic vocals or any tuning of that, or any vocals, you know, I've had a lot of electronic elements, and there's certain kind of instrumentation. I always love bass synth, for example, over real bass. But I do predict that there's going to be a turn, and people are going to invite guitars back into the landscape of alternative music, where it's been a little bit abandoned, and it seems like you know, most labels have been chasing songs like Sale and all the other songs that followed its path. And I see that changing. Although even in Sale, you got real guitar all over it as well, starting in the second chorus and out. So it's interesting where music is. It's all wide open now. If you turn on alternative radio, it sounds more like a pop radio station than it does like an alternative station. So I think that that's going to change and move more towards, you know, the more original alternative sound. Having said all this, you know, alternative by definition is literally that. It's supposed to be different than everything else. And sometimes when alt and pop get blended together, and I'm very responsible for this because that's exactly what Sale did, the lines get blurred and it becomes harder to define or differentiate between the two. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on my next record and where music is at then.
Yeah. it's all an evolution, you know. It's hard.
I basically just said nothing in a nutshell, you know.
Well, you know, you picked up on some good points. It's like, yeah, there, when one band gets signed, it seems like a lot of similar bands get signed, and it's not any fault of any one act. It's just kind of like you get that associated. And we saw that, it's like with you know, Nine Inch Nails and things along those lines, and in that aggro type scene at that time. And so it just kind of comes to play that this will come back around again. But it takes folks who's like, they're conscious of it and they can see it, to kind of, like you say, shift gears and do something different and keep relevant, keep being interesting.
It was very trippy to see, you know, when we first came out, everybody's like, well, we can't play this. This is weird. You know, and then to look now, if I turn on the radio, since the first record came out, I could name 10 songs that sound heavily, heavily influenced by the first record, especially Sale on radio. There's actually a song right now that I bet you're playing that sound. I mean, I'm positive that whoever wrote it sat down and said, okay, I'm going to write that song, but I'm going to change it up just enough that, you know, we can't be basically sued and have someone sing on it, you know. And the vocals aren't exactly so much like my vocals, of course, on it, but the song, it's unbelievably how close it is, you know.
Yeah, and that's got to be...
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, that's got to be a little aggravating to kind of know.
Or you could look at it like, wow, I'm really influencing popular music right now. That's cool. I never thought that would happen, you know, so that's cool.
Yeah. Well, you know, folks know you, of course, it's like from AWOL Nation. Has anybody approached you, it's like, for doing producing work or to help them with their albums?
Yeah, I don't know if you remember when I just mentioned that band Iron Tom that I just finished producing and co-writing their album, and they just got a record deal. And remember when I was talking about reliving some of those comparisons, and they compared him to the singer of Television and all that. So yeah, that record's done, and that'll come out next year, and we bring them on tour as well. And that's, you know, I'm going to be doing that, meaning producing other artists and writing with them just as much as I'm doing AWOL Nation records. And, you know, one helps out the other and vice versa. So it's a good thing for growth for me.
Yeah. Iron Tom is Zach Irons, right? From the band.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to see. It's like that's working out. It's like, and everything's kind of progressing on different fronts like that.
It is, because, you know, I told these kids, like, look, I'll do a record with you, but you're going to have to, you know, it's going to be different than anything you've experienced. And we're going to have to, you know, without sounding too much like a dictator, we're going to have to do it my way. And that's because that's the only way I know how to do it. Otherwise, it's not going to work out. And they're like, sure, man, whatever it takes. We just want a chance. And it's cool. They trusted me. And, of course, there's always growing pains, just like any relationship, because any band that is confident is going to also be pretty stubborn. And that's what, you know, you have to be pretty stubborn to be in a band and have success. And they were that way. And, you know, they trusted me enough. And it's just really cool that it actually, at the very least, I did what I promised, which is I'll get you a record deal and we'll make the best record possible that we're capable of making. And we all feel like we did that. So we're really excited for that.
Wow. Now, that sounds really, really great. Now, it's a real pleasure. Again, it's like speaking with Aaron Bruno from AWOL Nation. If I was going to leave with something, it's like one of the things that I happened to come across in the course of putting together my notes was that you are a bit of a baseball fan. And being that it's October,
yeah,
I was curious. It's like how your thoughts are as like going into the season.
I'm just a Dodgers fan. You know, there's no other team I care about as far as the big leagues. And it's been a frustrating thing because, yeah, we made it to October each year, and Kershaw just has choked, you know, each big moment. So I hope he doesn't, because seems like a good kid, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I didn't know if it's like if you're kind of following anybody else, it's like in the pennant races, or it's like you're just kind of, you know, Dodgers is your team.
Just the Dodgers, yeah. Well, they're in the playoffs, you know. So
yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see how things kind of shake out as it kind of goes. It's like, but I'm rooting for you, rooting for the Dodgers.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, again, it's a real pleasure to be able to speak a little bit with Aaron Bruno from AWOL Nation. Again, AWOL Nation is going to be in town this coming Friday, 4 p.m. at the Honda Stage at Austin City Limits 2016. Thank you so much, sir. I appreciate you taking the time and talking with me. And
yeah, no problem.
Congratulations on everything.
Thanks a lot, brother. Take care.
Bye.